Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control. A body of soul.
Welcome and good morning, everyone. You have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, and we got Jeannie Michael back from China.
Aha, good morning. Ni hao, everybody.
Is that it? Ni hao? Is
that's
that
hi?
Hi, how are you? Uh-huh. You look a little different.
I do.
Just kidding.
Well, I gained a couple pounds.
No.
You look great.
Yeah, you do. And so tell us, how was China? How long were you gone for?
It's been 18 days.
18 days. Uh-huh. Wow.
So a whole different part. This is our second time to Beijing.
What was your favorite?
Hong Kong.
Was it?
I love Hong Kong. Ah. Yes, I could go back to Hong Kong
today. Could you live there?
Yes.
You could?
I think I could live there for probably 3 or 4 months. I think I would really enjoy it. They've got a lot of little outer islands, which I didn't get to explore, you know, and a whole beach on the backside of Hong Kong, which isn't quite so busy. But I can tell you, Hong Kong is very compact, but very, very orderly. You don't need a car.
No.
Subways are awesome.
The one thing that you mentioned, everything's so clean.
Yes. Oh, my God, is it clean. I mean, going in the subways, not only is it clean, but it's like a mall. It's a mall underneath the city. And it's like you can just go eat and, you know, go shopping under there. And then you come up and you're right where your little stop's supposed to be. And you can either hop a cab if there's too much traffic, go on a bus. They have a streetcar, you know, or you just walk your block, you know.
Is there a lot of Americans there?
Yes.
Really?
Very international.
It's very.
Wow.
It's not just Americans, but there's a lot of international. And they even have a whole street. They call all their little malls, they call Sohos. Soho, that means a shopping mall of some sort, large or small. And they have an area where they have organic food. They have a workout gym on top. It's westernized. It's still China because you've got the old with the new. That's the biggest thing about China that you see is you can take a picture of a brand new skyscraper and right next to it's a building that's been there for, you know, 100 years or more.
Wow. So, I want to go there. I really, it sounds
different.
Inviting.
Hong Kong, just think of the word Hong Kong, you know,
it's very
exciting.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I know about Hong Kong is what you watch on movies, so.
Oh, well, you know, that's all I knew too, and I really never wanted to go, but my husband always wanted to go, and we both really, really liked it. In fact, we would like to come back and go on the, like I said, behind the island. We also went to Macau. You know, Macau is supposed to be actually beating Vegas, they say, right now, money-wise.
Oh, really?
But I can tell you, Macau is not Vegas.
No.
No.
So we score on that one.
We score on that one. But like the
How
buildings.
How about Shanghai?
Oh, I love Shanghai. Shanghai isn't as westernized as Hong Kong, but it's got so many big buildings, it makes Las Vegas look small.
You know, Jeannie, maybe I better tell everybody that they are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We just got off. I wanted to hear all about that. So I welcome everybody this morning to the Kim Pagano Show and have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, you know, just take a couple moments to, you know, relax and add value to your life every day in every way. And I want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. We've got Jacob and Jer on the board waiting for your phone calls and waiting for your Facebook at the Kim Pagano Show. You can give us a question there. And you can tune in to TuneIn Radio.
Yep.
We've got the Simi Valley Fair Music and Festival starting today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yay.
So that is going to be a great, I think their grand opening is at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And they've got their karaoke contest today. Jeannie, any interest?
No, no. I'll listen.
I heard you're a singer.
I'm a singer, but I we should remind everybody, too, that if you're going to that or even live in Simi, that the streets on LA Avenue would be closed from First to Erringer. So you're going to have to go around the back way, you guys know how to go when you live in Simi, the little shortcuts.
This is true, and it's over at Rancho Simi Park, Royal mm-hmm. and Erringer. And this year, they've changed a lot of things, so they're going to have fun for the whole entire family. Mm-hmm. So definitely come check that out, and if anybody's interested in some tickets, I've got them. Just give us a call here at 805-639-0008. And also, we do have this Saturday, we've got the Camarillo Art and Jazz Festival, and that is another great,
thing. Ooh, that's fun, too.
Yeah, we've got one of my favorite, Bobby Caldwell, is going to be there,
ooh.
And just live music. It's all about, we've got, let's see, at 4 o'clock, the Shoemaker Brothers, and then we've got the Blue Moon Swamp Band, and then...
Oh, they sound cool.
Yeah, they are the tribute to Creedence Clearwater.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, and then we've got Bobby Caldwell, but it's over in the old Camarillo town and off of Venture Boulevard. So
and that's Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's going to be a really great day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's just so much to do right here in the 805.
I know. I just can't do it all.
I know. I'm telling you. You know, it's funny. Last night I was out with my oldest daughter looking at wedding dresses.
Ooh.
And talk about another chapter of our life. And so I'm really excited. She looked beautiful in each one of them.
Of course.
But you could see we were all like sitting on a couch and it was like, yeah, that's a good one. No, that one's too much material. She's just this little petite thing, you know. I wonder where she gets that from, right?
Let's see.
She's still petite, though, you know.
Mm-hmm. So are you.
Well, thank you. But, so it's moving right along in our mm-hmm. family. So
that's
you
good.
Went through that, right?
Been through it. Yep. Everything so far has just been wonderful. My son found a wonderful lady that fell in love with him, and he fell in love with her. It's just a marriage made in heaven. So
there you
very
go.
Happy.
There you go. Jeannie, you want to let everybody know who our first guest is?
Yeah, and I really can't wait to talk to him. It's Jeffrey Kluger, and he wrote a book called The Sibling Effect. And this is about what the bonds among brothers and sisters reveal about us.
Mm.
Very. Already I've got 20 questions and different things in my mind.
Yeah, because of the birth order.
The birth order is one of them.
And
the twins.
Right.
But the whole relationship between the brothers and the sisters, and what does that reveal about you later in life, and how they get along and the dynamics, and what
and
maybe you can learn.
And how sometimes they don't get along.
I just spent the 18 days with my sister, who's
right.
a year and 11 days apart, and I can tell you it was really happy and nice. I really enjoyed every minute. In fact, I cried when they left.
Aww,
she left.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, just the bonds between brothers and sisters. Yeah. And
they know you well.
I'm really excited mm-hmm. to talk about that. The other thing that we are going to be talking about is what's eating your child. And we've got Kelly Dorfman coming on, and she is going to be talking about the highest rate of food allergies, obesity, behavioral, emotional disorders, autoimmune disease, and learning issues ever recorded. And oftentimes, this is simply due to their diet.
Uh-huh.
Who would ever have known? That's crazy.
Well, yeah. I got my own ideas on that because I've being at my age, which I'm in the older bracket, I've seen a lot through the lot of years, and I've seen how actually the diet at home has changed because of the working mom, and the you don't get your three squares. You got a balance between that and work, and it's a two-parent working.
Do you guys all see what I have here this morning?
Hey, you are moving up, girl.
Well, for anybody that can't see, I actually brought breakfast in today, right?
Uh-huh.
We had one of our guests, why are you skipping breakfast?
Exactly.
And that's something that I've always kind of done. I'm never hungry in the morning.
I know.
So I know it's...
she finally listened. I mean, we've been bugging her forever. Eat breakfast.
I was actually walking down my stairs today ready to go to work, and Before I was about to walk out the door, I was like, I gotta eat that breakfast because of yesterday.
It was kind of a reminder.
Yeah,
huh?
So I went to the fridge. Well, I got a loaf of bread, put in the toaster, and that's all I ate. And
a whole loaf of bread, Jer?
Well, not a whole loaf of bread, two slices of bread, and okay. Then I went to get my coffee. So, you know, I had my breakfast in the morning, at least my carbs. So
there you go.
Yeah, just enough. You can throw in a little protein with that. You'll have a great day, because I think that's the.
Well, she gave us the 1, 2, 3. Jer, do you remember what it was? One was. Carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. One was fruit, mm-hmm. and one
that's a carb.
Was
protein.
Yeah. You got to have your carb and protein together.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I have
was
my
really pretty easy.
Yogurt and my fruit. You know what I have every
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, you're good.
And then I always have a little my half a protein bar.
Well, that's what I brought in: some fruit mm-hmm. and yogurt.
And you got nuts.
Nice
and
parfait.
I got a little bit of nuts.
Oh
yeah.
Well, there's your protein right there.
I'm all good. And you're guess where good. I got it from.
Me, I hope. No.
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
And
hey,
you know what's
that's
funny?
Good to know.
I
you
did
know?
That last mm-hmm. night. You know, I was getting my son something. He was
You're
hungry.
Planning.
Yeah, and I thought, I'm going to get this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So for tonight, for tomorrow.
Oh, that's
so.
Very good. That's half the battle is planning ahead. If you don't plan ahead, you're just not going to be a success, you know.
In every way of your life, really.
Well, yeah, but especially with food. In the way we've got so much fast food in America available to us, we really need to plan our meals for our family as well as ourselves. Don't forget ourselves. That comes first, you know.
So. I love it. You know, I do want to do something. I haven't done this in a while, and I haven't really shared my talent with everybody as a hair therapist. And so I feel like meeting another one of my listeners. Mm. So I'm going to give out a haircut and blow dry. Jacob's going, let me grab my, get an order here. But I would really like to do that. And what I'd like to do is help somebody that wants a new look or just to kind of, you know, bring out the best in you. That's what it's all about. When you look good, you feel good.
Well, I can't tell you how many hairdressers don't feel that way. You come in, you know, and they're like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Aren't you going to tell me? That's why I'm here.
There you go. I know. And you know what? I do want to do a shout out to Ron Tunick. I did his hair yesterday, and he looked hot when he left my studio.
Uh-huh.
And so not only do I do women, I do men. So I do their hair. you know, my husband like, really, honey, whoops. On air, you know. But so, yes, if you are interested in having a new look and me helping you get that for you, give me a call at 805-639-0008. And Jacob and Jer are on the board looking for those phone calls. All right. So I know we have our first guest. And Jeffrey, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. You know what? I am really excited to hear about the sibling effect.
I am too.
Well, I'm excited to be here and talk about it.
Yes, because I have one sister, and then, of course, I have four children, and it's really interesting how they all interact, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, our sibling dynamics are, as one of the researchers I talked to, said our parents are a little bit like doctors on grand rounds in a hospital. They kind of sweep through, they make sure everyone's still alive, and then they go off to the business of paying bills and earning money. And
oh, my.
Wow.
That really,
yeah. The siblings are like the nurses on the ward. We're there one, every day with each other. Mm-hmm. We are little lumps of clay in the playroom, and every temperamental thumbprint we leave on each other stays there for life.
Isn't that something?
Mm.
I could tell you that I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, but this is Jeannie here. I just came from China for 18 days, and my sister traveled with us. And, you know, my sister and I are the only two in our family, and we're a year 11 days apart. And I cried when we left. It was like, you know, we don't spend enough time with each other, but I can tell you just the ease of just sitting with her, you know, I mean, I can touch her leg and say, oh, there's something on your pants. She would never flinch. The
right.
ease of just knowing each other that well, I can't explain the feeling, but you're right. I mean, the siblings have something that nobody else can touch.
Absolutely, and I say that to my two daughters right now, and they're only 8 and 10.
And they fight?
They fight, which they do on an almost minute-by-minute basis, you know, and that's simply what kids do. But I'll say to them, please remember, you are each other's best friends. Mm. I know you just hear that as an old man talking right now, but trust me, when you're grown-ups, you will realize you are there for the whole ride. And, you know, I don't go this far into, you know, intimations of mortality, but one of the points I make in the book is that, you know, our parents leave us too soon. Our spouses come along too late to shape us in some ways. And our own kids, we're too busy shaping them, but our siblings are with us cradle to grave. And, you know, sometimes, particularly by definition, one spouse, when you're old, is going to outlive another. Your own kids will be scattered. And often, you know, when you get to the end of the line, the only ones left at the dance are the ones what brung you. And those are your siblings.
You know what? And so, so true. We're talking to Jeffrey Kluger. Is that how
yes.
I pronounce it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a senior editor and writer at Time Magazine and principally covering science and social issues. And he has been responsible for hundreds of stories for Time, including 36 cover stories. And Jeffrey Kluger, co-author with Jim Lovell, the New York Times bestseller, Apollo 13. And let's see what else. You have
it's got a long list.
I know, authored Simplexity, Why Simple Things Become Complex, and Splendid Solutions, and Conquest at Polio. You've got tons of stuff,
mm-hmm.
huh? And you are a graduate of University of Maryland and the University of Baltimore Law School, and you live in New York City with his wife and daughters.
Okay, do you cook?
So, you know, what made you...
press kit,
there, yeah, what made you so interesting in what siblings do?
Well, there are two things that did it for me. First of all, as the cover of the book suggests, I grew up with three full brothers. I have a half brother and a half sister with whom we're very, very close now. For a brief time, I had two stepsisters. So, you know, I've had all of the flavors of the sibling relationship and have seen all of the differences. We experienced divorce. We experienced the blended home. We experienced so many things that I write about. In addition, back in 2006 and 2007, I wrote a pair of cover stories for Time magazine. The first one was on siblings in general. The second one was specifically on birth order. And what I was finding is that really just in the last 15 years, scientists have really begun to explore in complexity and depth the sibling relationship. It really was seen as sort of a secondary relationship in families, simply because siblings are interchangeable. There's so many of them. It's, you know, sort of like family inventory. And they're really just a peer group of playmates. They're not the people who hold the authority and power and sort of awe-inspiring roles that your parents do. But only as people began digging into it did they realize how complex these relationships are and how formative they are in ways no other relationship can be. So mm-hmm. I figure there's, you know, there's fantastic science. It's a young and exploding body of science.
Wow.
And also there's a lot of real first-person experience in it.
You know, why is there so many, they challenge each other instead of being best friends, you know, and they're jealous of each other. What's your thought on that?
Well, a lot of what goes on among siblings is the same thing that goes on in nature. Whatever the species is, from the moment you come into the world, you are in ferocious competition for the resources you need to stay alive. Now, if you're in a nest, it's really only food and warmth. That's it. In a human family, it's food, it's warmth, it's attention, it's love, it's focus, it's all of the senses, the things of care and loyalty and safety, all the deeply felt emotional needs that babies have. Well, when there are multiple kids in the house, you know, parents are still just two people, and, you know, the attention they give to one child, by definition, has to be subtracted from the fixed amount of attention that goes to another child. So we are genetically hardwired to compete for that. Our very survival depends on it. At least that's what our genes tell us. So there's a lot of what goes on there. There's also, that's a lot of what goes on. There's also a lot of jostling for family to find a niche in the family that's going to pay you the greatest dividends. One of the analogies I use in the book is the kids are a little like tree leaves. They position themselves so that they're growing out of the shadow of the leaf above them. So, you know, this is where you get into what's called de-identification. If the oldest son is an athlete, the next son, well, he could be an athlete too and get at best 50% of the attention that comes from being an athlete, or he could be an artist and get 100% of the attention that comes from being that.
So many
factors.
So you get
a lot of this jostling and niche defining among Sioux.
You know what I always, my husband has a family of five brothers, and I know all the brothers very well. And
Do they
see,
all compete against
no,
each other?
No, they actually all got along really,
see,
really well, which was really
harmony.
Yeah, we're not quite sure. We haven't figured that part out, except that, I mean, his mother even brags about that. She said other kids would be fighting. She said, but our kids always got along. They were like a gang with each other. But
right.
I still see different, I don't want to say it's false, but like some, they'll have something like one will be very stubborn. Okay, and I mm-hmm. and I think, where does that come from? One wants to be the first to know and know everything about something. And I'm like, where does that come from? And I try to go in my head and watch the reaction between their mom and dad and the and these brothers. And I mean, for years I've studied this. I should be my own scientist, but mm-hmm. but you
what
know,
have you, what do you think?
Well, I think I can see why exactly what you just said. I think the competition, when you have the first child, they're always the spoiled, they're the first one. And then when the second child comes along 2 years later, that first child has to start competing now for the attention of, because the second child is now going to get attention, right? And then when you have a third, then they kind of get it, they have to cut all that attention into thirds. So
right.
But now what and happens with the middle child syndrome?
They look a lot.
Well, the middle child syndrome, I wish I could say it's not true, but it's very much true. In fact, a lot of what people have sort of, the conclusions they've reached on their own about birth order are turning out to be borne out by the science. Middle mm-hmm. children do tend to be a little more lost in the thickets. They are the ones likeliest to have self-esteem issues. They do take a
really?
Little bit longer to pick a career path, to pick a direction. One of the few very good things for middle children is that they also tend to be better later in life at forging relationships outside the home and building a denser network of friends and colleagues. And that's partly because they simply had fewer of their needs addressed at home. Now, one of the good things is in a family that's more than three, as in ours, the two middle siblings, which in our case was myself and my younger brother Gary, can often take a lot of comfort in one another, and mm-hmm. I think it's no accident
that happened to my husband's family.
Well,
exactly.
You know what's funny?
And
now,
he and I
see,
were our favorite playmates.
Now, mm-hmm. Jeff, see, I've got four children, two girls, two boys. My oldest and my youngest are probably closer than my middle. You know, my youngest daughter and my oldest son are close. So, but then they always switch on me, you know?
Right. Well, I think that's exactly what the pattern was in our family. And I think part of that is that the two kids in the middle just drop out a little bit. I don't mean they disengage, but, you know, if they're pairing off, Gary and I so quickly became one another's best playmates that it left the slightly less probable choice of Bruce and Steve, the oldest and the youngest, as the mm-hmm. next two who were going to develop a certain special bond. So I think that's probably a pattern driven by the middle kids who are seeking out some solace and companionship.
You know, I just want to let everybody know, if anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Jeannie. We got our phones going crazy because I am actually giving away a day of a makeover. You know, if you want
a lucky person,
yeah, you want a new look, I'm ready to help you. And all you have to do is give us a call here at 805-639-0008, and you know, we're going to take names, and by the end of the show I will definitely mention who won that. But what my question is, Jeff, is what is the best advice for parents so that you can have the best relationship for your children?
Excuse me, I was just taking a swallow of water. One of the things is intervene judiciously in their fights. And what I mean by that is it is not true when people say, oh, let kids sort it out on their own as long as they're not killing each other. Now, the fact is, of course, parents can't possibly intervene in every fight kids have. Kids in the 2 to 5 age group have one fight every 6.9 minutes. I'm not kidding. That's a real statistic.
Wow.
Kids 2 years older than that still have a fight every 17 minutes, according to two different studies. So it's impossible for parents to intervene, and frankly, it isn't necessary. But when parents do play a role in helping kids resolve conflicts, the kids do learn conflict resolution skills earlier, and they learn them better. And two mm-hmm. good examples of that are kids come earlier to the idea that it's not enough to say, I want this toy. It's important to say, I want this toy because. When they can do that, they're separating wants from needs. They're also doing a better job of explaining their position to somebody else, which is a critical part of conflict resolution.
So you're guiding them. You're always guiding your children.
You're guiding them. Kids are also better when parents are involved at applying a resolution of the resolution to today's conflict. They can apply better to tomorrow, as opposed to learning it once, forgetting it, and then you have the Groundhog Day experience of having the same fight 24 hours later. So parents do have a role in this. And the better kids learn conflict resolution skills when they're very young, the better they will resolve them.
Jeffrey, where do we find your book?
It is certainly available on Amazon.com, on BarnesandNoble.com. It's in all fine bookstores, of course. And I don't have my own website. I'm beginning to think I really should, but my publisher,
I can set you up with a really good person, too.
Actually, my youngest brother is fantastic at this, so I may lean on his good services one more.
There you go, sibling.
Riverhead Books, and Penguin, which is a division of Penguin Putnam, and it should be on their website as well. But Amazon and Barnes & Noble are great.
Okay, great. Good. And one last little question. I know we need to go, but how does divorce affect sibling relationships?
The very, very good news is that divorce paradoxically actually tends to bring sibs closer together. And one of the studies I cite in the book, when siblings who are close in later life are asked, if there was a pivot point in their relationship that really fused them for good, the plurality of cases say it was divorce or some other loss of a parent that did it. And that, again, is one of the reasons I wrote this book, because one of the things that pulled my brothers and me so close was that we lived through two divorces. My mother was married and divorced twice, and the first one was really turbulent and quite nasty, and it really pulled us together.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the Kim Pagano Show. I'd love to talk more with you and maybe bring you back with some of your other books and articles.
That would be great.
Okay. And thank you so much.
Hey, thanks
Thank
a lot.
You for having me.
Adding value every day in every way here on the Kim Pagano Show. We were just talking to Jeffrey Kluger, and his book is The Sibling Effect. And if, we're going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Bill Akbar. He is the race director over at Simi Valley Fair Music and Festival, and we're going to be talking about the parade that they're going to be having. So give us a second, and we'll talk to him, and then we'll be coming back and also talking about what's eating your child. So stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Settle down that you found a girl and you're married now.
Academy and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello, as well as flute, clarinet, saxophone, trumpet, and trombone. We also have a fantastic rock band program for all of our students. Choose your instrument, pick your favorite song, bring your friends, and come rehearse your band as you prepare for an evening concert. And for your adorable mini music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 4. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
It is over.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks so much for staying with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'm Kim. I'm here with Jeannie. We've got Jacob and Jer on the board, so thank you for all the phone calls, and you can still get in on it. A free makeover at 805-639-0008. And right now we have Bill Akbar, race director for the parade of Simi. Say it again.
Escobar.
Okay. For Simi Valley Fair Music and Festival. And welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here. Thanks for getting that name right. That's great.
Do you get that a lot, I'm sure?
Yeah, it happens. That's okay.
Okay.
It's, Yosemite Valley 5K 10K, it's the second year that we've had this, and we're getting a lot of great response. The nice thing is that, as you know, the proceeds go to the Yosemite Valley Days Foundation, which helps a lot of local youth programs throughout Yosemite Valley, as well as throughout Ventura County, for that matter.
So where is it going to begin?
It starts at the, right there at the corner of Rancho Yosemite Park at Royal and Thompson. There's a big parking lot there. We actually run out into the Arroyo, the Yosemite Arroyo bike path.
Oh, we'll have great place.
Along Erringer up to LA Avenue, and then we run along the parade route, actually. We turn around where they're getting everything set up. I'm trying to remember the name of that little park. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I can't either, yeah. But I know where you mean.
Yeah, at any rate, we turn around, come back for the 5K. They finish. They go out. They come back just the way they started. The 10K, which is 6.2 miles, when they get to Erringer, they're going to go on the bike path, actually. They'll be headed west on the bike path, and they turn around at the big, giant turnaround sign. I've developed large 5-foot-tall turnaround sign, so not to mention a 16-foot red flag that says, "Turn around!" So it should be
I love it.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been doing this? Did I lose you?
Yeah.
Oh, we lost him. He's running away from us, so he'll be back, I'm sure. All right, so, oh, is that him? Did we lose him?
Oh.
Oh, well. But, oh, are we there? Hello?
Go ahead.
Bill?
I can hear you.
Okay, yes. We lost you. You were running around when you turned around. You had your sign.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. So now, if anybody hasn't already signed up for this, how do they get in?
You would go to www.yosemitevalley5k10k.com.
Okay.
And you'll see a register now. You click on register, and you'll have all the information as far as the course, when it starts, when it stops. And we'll also be at the Yosemite Valley Music Festival and Fair on Thursday as well as on Friday from 5 to 9 p.m.
Okay, great. And now, can you walk it or do you just have to run it?
You can walk it. We have quite a few walkers, actually, so especially in the 5K. For us, we just want people to come out and enjoy the experience. So whether you're walking, running, skating, you know, get out there and do something. That's our motto.
Mm-hmm. Anything is better than nothing, right?
I think our Weight Watchers has a team there.
Oh,
yeah, great. Great. Exactly. You know, like I say, just as long as you get out and do something and enjoy life. We were swimming this morning in the ocean out in Ventura.
Wow.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's amazing. I actually just took my wetsuit off a little bit ago.
Well, I'm glad you did to come talk to us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Well, I look forward to, this whole week of great stuff here at the Yosemite Valley Fair Music Festival over at Rancho Yosemite Park. And where do they sign up?
You can sign up at yosemitevalley5k10k.com, or if you go to the Yosemite Valley Festival and Music Fair, we will actually be at the front gate, and you can sign up there in person if you want with cash or credit card.
And what is the cost of that?
Yeah, on Thursday or Friday.
Okay, and Bill, how much is it?
For the 10K, it's $50, and for the 5K, it's $40.
Okay, oh, great.
That's a good price.
It is a good price.
A lot of fun.
And all the proceeds go to?
It goes to the Yosemite Valley Days Foundation, which helps youth programs all throughout Ventura County as well as Yosemite Valley. And wanted to mention also that every runner, or every participant, I should say, gets a finisher's medal and a custom-made event shirt. So
that's a good deal.
That is a good
really
deal.
Want to get that medal.
I want that medal, man. I'm all about
the
medal.
I'll see you Saturday.
There you go. All right. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for being a part of our show.
Well, thank you so much.
All see right. you at the fair.
We'll see you at the fair. That is the Yosemite Valley Fair. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I've been giving away a ton of tickets, but I have one more family group ticket at 805-639-0008. And I have a set of four tickets that I'll give away for a family. All right. So do we have Kelly on the line? No. Oh, okay. Okay, our lines are going. All right. Well, and so we're going to be at the Simi Valley Fair
this week,
and I can't wait. We've got the grand opening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know,
perfect day for it too.
It is. It's been, and they say it's going to be like the hottest day Friday.
Yeah. Well, so today will be okay.
Did we turn off for a second? Can you turn us on?
Am I here?
Yeah, we're on.
I'm not in China. Okay, I am here.
There you go. Now, what was some of the food in like in China?
Well, I was just reading about our next guest.
Right.
That, what's eating your child? In China, I don't think they have that problem. They do have a diabetes problem. I know that.
Really?
Yes, but that was in one of their newspapers. But the children all eat pretty much the same. they eat what their parents eat, you know.
What do they eat for breakfast? That's what I...
They eat like a rice. It's like you take rice and I don't know how to make it, but it looks like rice with a lot of water. Instead of oatmeal, it's like rice water, and they have some
like rice
pudding. In it. It's not quite that thick, and it's more watery. And then they add their vegetables to that.
So is it all white rice?
Yes.
Or brown rice?
Oh, no. I don't think they know what brown rice is.
So that's
it's
a lot
white.
Of sugar then.
But they also, when they have a meal, they don't eat rice. They eat it at the end of their meal, if they eat it at all, and they'll never eat the rice and the noodles, you know, not in the same meal. Where, you know, all of us here in America go out for Chinese food, and we're looking for the noodle dishes. You got to have noodle. You got to have fried rice. And then white rice, too. And they don't do that in China.
Okay, so you haven't really mentioned sushi.
No, they don't do sushi. That's more Japanese.
Wow.
They do
really?
Have sushi, but they're really not. Japanese are kind of the king. I kind of stayed away
so
from that.
So do they have like orange chicken and all that?
No. They have cashew chicken, but I think they kind of look at it like that's in a westernized dish, you know. So it's more like roots, pickled roots, 100-year-old eggs. They make a sauce. They have a lot of dim sum.
Did you do the dim sum?
Yes. You know, that's pretty much a breakfast every morning. And hot pot. That's one of their favorites. Hot pot's in the morning.
Dim sum's not the chicken feet?
No. I didn't do the chicken feet. My husband did, and everybody else. But I declined that one. But I did have something I thought was beef, and it turned out to be donkey. And actually, it was really good. So... What can I say? Lamb. They do a lot of lamb. So it was interesting. You know, I think, like I said, minus the rice, there's still lots to eat. It's a lot of vegetables, and they do a lot of hot pots. Even in the morning, you know, it's boiling, and you just put fresh vegetables in there, and they boil it for you. It's just, I can't get my head around spicy and stuff like that in the morning.
Oh, I love spicy, but not in the morning. Yeah, maybe not.
I'm not geared for that, but
yeah.
They are. Our friend that went with us, who's Chinese, every morning had her bowl of all that. Fresh fruit also is real high on their list. They have that usually at the end of their meal. So sugar is not something, you won't see pies or cakes. I mean, you'll see it, but it's like more in the westernized, like in Hong Kong, but very few, and it's always an empty shop. They don't, not a lot of people go there, you know. So, yeah. They don't, I even offered some friends of hers a bite of our cheesecake in a slice, and she just looked at me like, ooh, like that was poison or something. I thought, okay.
And was it like our kind of cheesecake?
Yeah, I got it at Starbucks in Shanghai.
Oh, so they do have Starbucks over there.
They do, but their cheesecake is not like our cheesecake here. It's not very sweet. So, and even that they didn't want, so. It was kind of it's different, you know. We were with all walks of life. We were with the, you know, the rich, the poor, the medium. She has all kinds of friends she all went to school with. And plus you hang with Chinese. You can pick your areas, you know.
Are they friendly?
Yes. They're always friendly. They're very nice, very polite. And my favorite thing is if you give them a business card, they hand it to you in two hands.
It's very respectful.
Yeah, very respectful. Very respectful. And that's part I just love about China. I kind of miss that.
You know what I want to ask you is, you stayed at a Chinese hotel as opposed to the
five-star
JW
Chinese
Marriott.
Well, that was in
Singapore,
Beijing.
Okay.
No, Singapore and Hong Kong, we were at the JW Marriott.
What was that like?
I like the JW better because I think when you don't speak the language, it's hard to communicate because they do, and the Chinese and the hotel that geared to Chinese, they do have someone that speaks English, but they're not there all the time. So it's a lot harder. Like I couldn't get a cab one night because they didn't understand the word cab or taxi. I mean, you know, I motioned
but are
with
the
my,
rooms,
my arms,
nice?
You know, for a car and it didn't work. So
and
I walked.
And they're looking at you like, what
yeah,
are you talking about?
They're very polite. But
if anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm talking to Jeannie. We've got Jacob and Jer on the board, and our phones are going crazy. I want to give you a phone number to give us a call and be a part of our show at 805-639-0008. It's just that easy that you can, you know, a lot of people go, I'm never calling into a radio show, but you know, it's just us, and we're being real and
just
having
like
fun.
Sitting in the living room.
And that's, just call us. Let us know that you're listening, and let us know what you're thinking. So at 805-639-0008.
Anybody been to China?
Yeah, let us know. We do have our next guest on, and we've got Kelly Dorfman, and her book is What's Eating Your Child? And let's see here. Let me tell you a little bit about Kelly. She is an MS, an LND, and she's a health program planner and nutritionist with 29 years of clinical experience. And she co-founded the nonprofit organization Developmental Delay Resources in order to educate parents and teachers and health professionals who deal with children facing attention behavior, cognitive challenges. Dorfman is a popular speaker and workshop leader throughout the U.S. and Canada, and she has served by governor appointment on Maryland Board of Dietetic Practice, and she has been consulting by WebMD, interviewed on my show and many others, and referenced in Washington Post. And Dorfman has a master's degree in nutrition and biology and is licensed nutritionist dietitian in Maryland and in the District of Columbia. And she resides in Maryland with her husband and three children. And welcome, Kelly.
Kim, that was a great introduction.
Well, thank you. It's funny, you can like listen to like, wow, I've done all that. What an accomplishment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good, actually.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your book. I'm really interested because so many things are really, you know, being noticed now, more so than a long time ago, of what we can do as parents to help out our children. And that it all really comes back to what we eat, which is incredible.
Yes, the book is about the hidden connections between food and medical conditions that most people don't think about being related to food. We mostly think you are what you eat in general, and then maybe that means if you eat too many calories, you'll get heavy. But most people don't think about ear infections, reflux, mood disorders, learning disabilities, and other conditions that very often have a nutrition component.
That's so true. I agree with that.
Yeah, I just, how do you, you know, correlate eating and learning disabilities? Let's start there.
Well, that's actually one of my favorite topics is at the end of the book. And the way the book is written,
I always start at the end of every book. Yeah. You know, I don't know how that works. But.
Okay.
People who read the ending and then go back.
I'm one of those, yes.
So the book is written in a series of stories. There are true stories. I just wanted to make it like CSI nutrition, you know, like on TV where they have the case and you solve the case and then people can see if it applies to them.
Hmm.
And it turns out that the brain is mostly fat. And so the kind of fat you eat dramatically can affect how the brain develops on,
wow,
you know, at a very simple level.
That's
and then
interesting.
There's more complicated things. There's some very specific nutrients and there's a really weird nutrient most people have never heard of called choline. And the deficiency symptom for it is a reduced capacity to learn.
Is that with a C?
Yes, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, and if you don't have enough of that, you can't learn.
And where do you get that? From your food only?
Yes, that's why it's essential nutrients have to be gotten from the diet. You can't make them or create them from something else. And so you have to get it from your diet, and because they only discovered in 1998 how critical this was for learning, they're just now figuring out how much kids need. So infant formulas and supplements are very under supplemented at the moment because they just aren't sure how much kids really need.
What foods would you find that in?
You find it in eggs and soy and liver.
Soy and liver.
Wow.
Okay, two of not my favorite. I don't like liver.
I actually love liver.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I know.
Like chopped liver?
Yeah.
Have you ever
Everybody in the world does, but
Jewish holiday coming?
Fish. I'm sorry. Everything that's good for your brain is in fish.
Oh,
so I can have fish. I'm good with sushi, right?
There you go.
Well, I don't know if you're good with sushi for other reasons, but
I love sushi.
It is kind of a chemistry to learning. I mean, people are always afraid of the chemistry word, but whatever you think about something, something's happening in your brain chemically, and you can support that with your nutrition.
Uh-huh. I agree with that. What's wrong with sushi? You think you just prefer to have it cooked, your fish?
I'm just worried because of the pollution factor. You know, the seas are polluted now.
How safe
can the fish be? A lot of them have cancers when they catch them and all kinds of weird parasites. And so I just get nervous about it. Although my daughter loves it. My daughter loves raw tuna.
Well, I do too. And I've actually thought about that too because, you know, they talk about farm raised. That isn't good. You need the wild caught. But if you go to the wild caught and like you say, they've already got a disease, then how good is it for you? But then it wouldn't matter if you cooked it or not, would it?
Exactly. The problem is that we could talk and complain about every food out there. There's a problem with almost everything at this point.
Yeah, right.
If anybody's just joining us right now, we are talking to, Kelly Dorfman. And her book is Who's Eating Your Child? What I was going to say is you say that you really are what you eat. How? How does that work?
Well, you're basically a bag of chemicals.
Oh, nice.
You're not the government. And so you can't run on a deficit. You don't got it. You don't make it. So if you need zinc to grow and you don't have enough zinc, you don't grow.
Well, you know, I always think of my body like a car sometimes because...
Well, everybody, yeah.
Well, especially when you're dieting. You know, if I just want to eat some protein without the bread and, you know, plenty of vegetables, you can almost feel it going into your body and the energy surging through you. But if you eat too much protein or too much carbs or, you know, it's kind of like a funny balancing act, isn't it?
Yes, and some people are more sensitive to those little changes than others. Mm-hmm. Some people notice right away if they've eaten a couple bad meals, and other people can eat hot dogs and drink beer all day, and they seem to be fine.
That's my husband. And then he'll lose it within a week.
Well, but, I mean, that doesn't mean it doesn't affect them. I mean, you always hear about people who just suddenly drop dead of a heart attack or something. They didn't see it coming. Some people are just more tuned in to the way the body talks to them.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. There's lots of choices out there, and I think with your book, it's a good way to start researching and kind of looking about what to eat, how to eat, and how it affects you.
Well, exactly. I mean, one of the things I want parents to think about, and not just for their kids but for themselves, is that if something comes up, rather than think of nutrition as the course of last resort after you spend all your time and money and doctor's visits and expensive tests, maybe you should think about nutrition first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
And so what should we be eating? Let's start there.
Well, in a perfect world, you know, cue the angels and the tweeting birds.
Oh, wow.
It would be, a lot of plant-based food that's organically grown when possible, so you'd have lots of vegetables and fruits. You know, the diet that's recommended to prevent cancer is 8 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 5% of people eat that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the thing that you're constantly saying over and over again is more fruits, more vegetables, and then there's whole grains. That's a good thing. I don't think meat's a problem for most people, although some people can do very well on a vegetarian diet. But, you know, meat that's raised hopefully in a friendly way, that's not using too many chemicals. The simplest foods are the outside of the grocery store. That's what seems
I hear
to be
that all the time. I don't understand. So they must, I mean... Okay, I get it.
Well, you know, I did this years ago when I wasn't feeling good. I had some medical problems. And the first thing I did, it had just been starting like the little revolution of nutritionists coming into light and people paying attention to them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try that because I wasn't real impressed with doctors. They always kind of scared me a little bit because I felt like they really didn't know me. I knew myself, right? And I could just do my symptoms. Anyway, I got really into nutrition and it changing my diet.
Did it help you? Did you feel better?
Oh, my God, yes. I cured. You have no idea what I cured. And just by changing my diet, to this day, I still, my favorite food is a piece of chicken, fresh broccoli that isn't well overdone, just barely cooked, you know.
So you're not taking all the nutrients out
right.
of it. Yeah.
And raw better and more fruit and grain. And my whole body has changed. My life has changed. My outlook has changed. I don't think I'd ever go back.
Kelly, what I want to ask you, what exactly happens when somebody eats like a sugary breakfast?
Well, again, some people will notice a difference, like your partner here, and some people don't. But in kids, what they found is that there are some kids who are very sensitive to that. And there's actually a story in a book about a child like this who was eating so much sugar, he ended up in a special ed classroom because his behavior was so bad. And the mother had three little boys at home, and she didn't mean to go into a really bad dietary state, but you know how it is. She got busy. They screamed and cried. They were hitting each other a lot. So she ended up giving them a lot of snack food, and and sugary desserts and popsicles. Mm-hmm. And we just did an experiment where we pretended it was Lent, and we took them off all sugar, the whole three of them, for a month. And his whole personality changed.
Oh, I can believe that 100%.
Now, what about the white diet? What do you think about that?
Well, the white diet, of course, could include a lot of white sugar, but it's also a lot of white flour products. There was just a study that was done in October, and they found that most kids really don't eat meals anymore. They are living on snack foods.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so those
so
are
true.
The white crackers, the white pasta, the white mm-hmm. bagels. It's just there's not the fiber foods or the fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So what would you recommend to replace that?
Well, I think that we're always constantly pushing vegetables because the average child does, I think less than 16 or 70% of kids eat the 4 to 5 fruits and vegetables they're supposed to for general good health of servings a day. So we're constantly trying to find a way to make vegetables as interesting as chicken nuggets. And that's the problem. When you have a processed food where there's 30 ingredients and there's flavor enhancers and salt and MSG and artificial colors and flavors, they're overwhelmingly taste intensive. And you put that next to a strawberry, or you put that next to a piece of broccoli, and most people in our culture are trained to say, "Ich, now give me the chicken nugget."
Well, you know, and I also think, like you were saying, there's so many snack foods available. Even though you try to maybe not put your child on that, they've got friends that they'll come over and there's those little pizza things you stick on the refrigerator. Well, right away, their taste buds have changed. So I know with my own nieces, I had them, and I didn't give them any snacks, none. They had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they, you know, I mixed with, like, for instance, I took macaroni and cheese, which was their favorite. That was their staple, right? And I took broccoli, boiled it, and chicken and minced it, and I put it all together in a blender with the cheese and added some good cheese on top of the stuff that comes with it. Man, they loved it, and they were actually full. They were not hungry. I mean, I didn't have to hear from them until 7 o'clock that night. I thought, gosh, you know, you got to stretch it out. No junk in between, I think.
All right.
It is hard. It's hard because you're fighting a culture where there's constantly foods and snacks and
exactly.
you know, big birthday parties and advertisements.
Neighbors.
We have to train ourselves to like simple foods, and we have to practice eating all kinds of things.
Mm. And one thing, I just got out of high school about 3 years ago, and, you know, since my freshman and senior year, I've seen all my friends, you know, we just from breakfast to the end of school, you know, hot Cheetos, hot pockets, burritos,
right.
You know, it all starts, you know, in the schools also, because, you know, the schools are not giving us vegetables. They're not giving us, you know, they don't sell orange juices anymore. It's just a bunch of
they
sodas.
They used to.
Yeah, Gatorades, the
they
vending
are
machines.
Changing schools though now. Mm-hmm. And
it's about money
it's
now.
It's about, yeah, but it's about time. And would you bring a little lunch to school?
I wouldn't. My I would get the free lunch, but of course the free lunch would always be, you know, the burrito, the cookies.
Sure. Exactly.
It's about money, because there's all kinds of deals every year.
There
so.
You go. So, Kelly, where do we find your book?
My book, What's Eating Your Child, about the hidden connections between food and common medical ailments in children, can be found on the internet, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble or any independent bookstore.
Okay, great.
Gosh, Kelly, thank you so much for writing this and taking the time, because I think it's so important that people really, really pay attention to nutrition.
No, and follow their intuition, because most parents know, even the student here already knows that some of the basics about nutrition.
Exactly.
You have to follow what you know already.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's you have on your book here that if you can actually eat right, you can finally get your kids off of drugs like antibiotics, laxatives, Prozac, mm-hmm. Ritalin. Do you really believe that that's possible?
I do.
Well, yeah, there's actually the most provocative story in the book is called The Bipolar Child That Wasn't. And it was a child that was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She was being kicked out of school. She was on 3 psychotropic medications. And we took her off of gluten, and it all went away.
Mm-hmm. Just off of gluten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was having a terrible neurological reaction. It was affecting her behavior, her thinking. Yeah. I mean, they thought that maybe she had some kind of autism, kind of social disorder, because she didn't seem to understand things that people were doing around her. It was she completely changed. Now she's 17. She wants to be an actress. Her whole parents have changed their lives. The mother's become a health coach. I mean, it was quite an amazing transformation. Mm-hmm.
There's more people than you know that are allergic to gluten. They just, a lot of people weren't aware of that fact.
Oh, the psychiatrist was as surprised as anybody because they were thinking about some really nasty medicine and she was already on three that were pretty tough because they literally didn't know what else to do.
Wow.
And here it was just a bad reaction to something she was eating.
You know, I want to ask you a question. Why did you write this book?
Well, because I wanted to empower parents. This is expensive when medical things go wrong. And not only is it expensive, it's a terrible tragedy to the family. The family can be torn apart when one child or one parent is very sick. Mm-hmm. And so often, they skip over the basic things like the chemicals you're putting in your mouth.
Right. We don't think about the obvious, you know.
Right. I mean, how many kids are put on Ritalin? And not that Ritalin, you know, doesn't work for some people, but they're put on Ritalin and they're never asked what they eat. And I saw a child recently that had sugar dyed cereal for breakfast and lunch every day.
There you go.
That's it. Exactly.
And
well,
he was psychotic. He was going to be put in some kind of restrictive environment. He had put a kid in the hospital. He was 6 years old. And nobody asked him. None of the psychiatrists or the neurologists that he saw ever asked what he was eating. We took him off of sugar just for 2 weeks. He was 70% better.
Unbelievable. Well, I thank you so much for being a guest on The Kim Pagano Show. We've been talking to Kelly Dorfman, and we'll have you back again.
I would love it.
All right. Thank you so
much. Have a great day, Kelly.
All right. Well, gosh, our show is almost over. It flies by when you're having fun. And Jeannie, thank you so much for being on my show again.
As always.
Glad you're back. And Jer and Jacob, great job. And Jacob, you want to announce who our winner is of the makeover?
After so many calls, our winner is Jody Serta from Ventura County. So
okay.
Congratulations, Jody.
Very good. And we will give her a call, and I look forward to meeting you. I want to let you know if you missed any part of our show today, definitely you can hear it again this afternoon from 3 to 4. And also, you might want to check out the Ventura Breeze. They've got everything happening out here in Ventura, and I have a new column coming out, and I believe it comes out today. So definitely check it out. There's just great, great reading in there. And you can also go online at VenturaBreeze.com. With that, I'd love to talk to you again. Of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is be true to your work, your word, your clients, and your friends. With that, you're honest, you're fun, you're having a good time, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly. So see you at the fair, Simi Valley Days.
That's right. All right. And if anybody needs more tickets, definitely email me at kimpagano@gmail.com, and I'll get you hooked up. All right. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a really great day. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim.
I'm Jeannie.
And I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I follow your call.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of The Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from The Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello, as well as flute, clarinet, saxophone, trumpet, and trombone. We also have a fantastic rock band program for all of our students. Choose your instrument, pick your favorite song, bring your friends, and come rehearse your band as you prepare for an evening concert. And for your adorable mini music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 4. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach you.